Welcome to Farmscape Online. I'm Bruce Cochran. My guest is Dr. Susan Detmer, an associate professor in the Department of Veterinary Pathology with the University of Saskatchewan's Western College of Veterinary Medicine. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Detmer.
Thank you for having me.
You have completed a summary of what's been seen over the past 2 years in terms of seasonal flu. What have been the highlights as far as flu over the past year, and why?
So the main factor that changes what we see in the pig population has to do with what we see in the human population. And for the human population over the last 2 years, there's been a lot of the pandemic H1N1 from back in 2009 circulating. And this virus over the last decade has changed genetically so that we've had to update the human vaccine. There was a lot of human to pig transmission in 2018 and 2019. And so when we saw a lot of transmission from humans to pigs, that's when that virus tends to cause a lot of disease issues and dominate what we see in our surveillance. So that has been a huge factor. As that pandemic started to wane, so just like in people, there are waves of different subtypes that we see within the human population, and the pandemic has waxed and waned. It's come back as the dominant strain periodically. So the pandemic started to wane in the fall of 2019, and that's when we were seeing a resurgence of our endemic viruses, the viruses that are already present on those farms. And so we first saw these H1N2 viruses that were very common in Manitoba, especially in 2015, 2016. And then after that, the H3N2 viruses that were already present came after that. So there's just kind of a pattern that things change, and whatever's dominant tends to, they get immunity to it just because of exposure, just like in the human population, and another one will come up. Sometimes there's new introductions, but we don't see too many new viruses introduced. We really have three different kinds of viruses in pigs in Western Canada. It's the pandemic viruses, these alpha 3 H1N2 viruses, and then these H3N2 viruses. And it tends to be a fairly even split between the three. And when one of them, when we have spillover from the human population, that virus will dominate in the pigs and the other two will be less until they come back.
How has the number of submissions to the lab changed? Over what time frame? And what are the factors behind that change?
So part of it is the availability of testing and people sending me submissions. Most of the work that I do is supported by the Ministry of Agriculture in Saskatchewan. And so there is no charge for my sequencing and virus isolation that I do in my laboratory. And so that, as people have it available, they do take advantage of that. It's been fairly steady. Each quarter, around 1,000 samples per month-ish, submission-wise, tends to be about 20 to 30 different submissions. So one farm visit equals one submission to my lab. Over time, it goes up and down. Certainly in the winter, from November to April, there's a lot more samples than over the summer, just because that's when the virus is most active. There's less circulation on the farms. And of course, people are bringing viruses on the farm, so we tend to see more positive samples at those times. And the last peak we had was January through April of 2016, and that was partly because I was doing a surveillance project on a number of farms in West Canada. So we had increased submissions and up to around 60 a month. And we were actually above that this year. So this winter, there was more flu being tested starting in the end of October of 2019, going through February and early March of this year. And that tended to be pretty steady. Every week we were receiving several samples in the lab. The decrease started with the COVID-19 closures of the borders and the instructions to stay home. And so the veterinarians were doing less farm visits. I was still receiving direct samples from farms and occasional vets that were going where there was an urgent outbreak on a farm and they were still collecting samples. But there was a definite decline over the month of April that was more than we normally would see. Normally by May, we see a very low number of samples being submitted just because the disease burden is lower. Once the weather gets nice outside, the airflow on the farms is increased. And sometimes if they have ventilation where they can actually open up the sides of the barns for the pigs, all of that extra airflow of fresh air actually improves the respiratory health of the pigs overall. So normally we expect over the spring and summer to see less disease. And then when the fall hits, just like in people, when we go inside, we're not spending as much time outside. The pigs are also having their ventilation turned down and less fresh air, and so they're we see more respiratory disease in pigs as well.
How does the level of flu in 2020 or the risk of transmission compare to previous years, and what are the factors there?
So the COVID-19 has actually presented us with an interesting scenario. So with less movement of people, even between the provinces in Canada, we're actually seeing less disease and less transmission. There's still movements of pigs, and we do see viruses move with movements of pigs. So we are seeing that happen. The viruses are on these farms, so they're not going to just disappear. But it is a positive thing. We do expect to see less influenza in people so long as they're doing their social distancing. They're not interacting with large groups. They're not traveling on planes. All of that is actually going to benefit the pigs, hopefully, this fall. We'll see what happens, but it is something that some of us are keeping an eye on because with the lockdowns, normally during this time of year, it's Southern Hemisphere. So Australia, South America, those areas where flu is transmitting still, because it's their winter time. What comes back to us come next fall, we'll see if that is any different. If there's less virus being transmitted in Australia because they're trying to stop the coronavirus from transmitting as well, then we could actually have a better fall flu season. That is something that we can think hopefully about because people are not interacting at the levels that they normally would. With pigs, the viruses that we have are still going to stay there because unless they do a disease eradication plan on a farm at this time.
How do the precautions to contain the spread of COVID-19 relate to the flu and why?
So both are respiratory viruses. Influenza is right now is proving to be less lethal in humans, and pigs are not transmitting COVID or the SARS corona type 2 virus. They have not been shown to be susceptible. So that's a really good thing for pigs, because if people brought it onto farms, it could amplify. And so we're glad that that's not happening. But the flu viruses that people have historically brought on, the human to pig transmission of influenza viruses that we have monitored over the last two decades, that is something that we're hoping will decrease because people are much more conscientious about if they have a fever, if they're sick, they're staying home, they're self-isolating, they're creating bubbles within their families. All of those steps to reduce the spread of COVID-19 are also going to help stop the spread of other respiratory viruses like influenza. They're both RNA viruses. They're both susceptible to UV lights, the sunlight, all of those things. So keeping one down should keep the others down. And if we're much more conscientious about our health and maintaining, you know, wearing face masks, maintaining distance between people and not going to work when sick, and most of us are currently working from home, all of those things should help with reducing the burden of influenza in the human population. And the benefit to the pigs is reducing flu circulating in the human population will mean fewer people potentially bringing those onto farms.
When is the greatest risk for the spread of the flu and why? And what precautions are recommended for minimizing the spread of flu?
For influenza, I still recommend getting the annual vaccine, especially if you work with pigs, because it has the most recent updated pandemic H1N1 virus in that vaccine. And that is a virus that we know can get into pigs and back into people. It's both populations, human and pig, are highly susceptible to the pandemic H1N1 virus. And so if you get vaccinated, it won't be 100%, but I myself have gotten infected with the virus, and it's a much lower shedding that I'll have. I'm recovering faster. The influenza, it has a very typical infection process in people, and it's the same in pigs. The first 24 to 48 hours of infection, you may or may not notice anything. Usually the fever peaks 24 to 48 hours after infection. Then once the fever surpasses, that's when you're shedding a lot less virus. You usually shed the most virus in the first 3 to 5 days of infection. And you can shed the virus for 7 to 10 days after you're infected, but within 2 weeks, you stop shedding the virus. And you're not able to transmit once you've stopped shedding the virus. The coughing usually doesn't start until 7 days after you're infected. It can start sooner if it goes into your lungs sooner, but for the most part, it is an upper respiratory infection, meaning it's in your nose and your trachea. It's usually not deep into your lungs.
And is there anything you would like to add?
Yes, there have been a few H3N2 and H1N2 viruses that I've seen over the last decade in Western Canada and even in Ontario and Quebec that actually will cause serious problems. Most of the morbidity or the disease that we see, which is the respiratory signs, are in the growing pigs, but occasionally you start seeing problems in sows. Those are usually fevers. Sometimes they're off feed. I've seen sows that lie down and don't want to get up. And occasionally you'll see some abortions in these sows. And that can be caused by an influenza introduction that these sows have never seen before. And it's a virus that is totally new to them. So we have seen a few of those even in the last year. These are usually viruses that are new to a farm, and it's a reason to be careful of why when you introduce new animals or people to a farm. You want to make sure that they don't bring viruses with them. And so it is something to think about to keep not just influenza, but other diseases out of your farm, is to isolate new animals in a separate building with where you see them and you shower after you see them. You might see them at the end of the day so that they're able to be isolated and kept from the group. It's the same concept that they're using when they're saying, when you come back from abroad, spend 14 days in self-isolation. Don't even go to the grocery store. Have everything delivered to your house. And that's because they don't want those people going out in public and spreading the COVID-19. It's the same thing you want to do on your farm. And a lot of farmers know this already, so it makes sense to them. If you buy new gilts for your farm, if you keep them separated from the rest of the group, then and slowly introduce them to the pathogens that are on your farm, get them acclimated to what's there, but don't let them bring new stuff and share it with them, the animals that are already there. You don't want to introduce disease because it's hard to get something out once it's there.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Our guest has been Dr. Susan Detmer, an associate professor in the Department of Veterinary Pathology with the University of Saskatchewan's Western College of Veterinary Medicine. For Farmscape Online, I'm Bruce Cochran.